that the referee is reaching into their pocket. What is that card going to be? It is a red card. That can mean only one thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
A freshly rested John Brennig, fresh off...
I don't know about rested.
Yeah. Wake me up when we get to the playoffs. Part two, we're going to be talking about our matches in Orlando and Philadelphia. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Tired. It's been a long week, but, you know, we're making it. We're making it.
More ways than one. All right. And this episode, we are going to be talking about the matches, Wednesday match against Orlando, the Saturday match against Philadelphia away in Philly. We will be telling you who the hardest working player is for each and the most valuable player. Not a lot of goal discussions going on, so we will segue into part two where we will ask some very uncomfortable questions. John will share some stats, and we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, the most important part. John, all right, let's dive right into the match in Orlando. We'll talk about the Orlando match first. Get it out of the way. Not a lot to talk about. Gut reaction to that match.
Well, except when it wasn't in Orlando, we hosted them, but
yeah,
you know.
It was at Philadelphia here against
here Orlando. I mean, it was a poor effort. It just wasn't a very pretty game. I think to me, the thing that summed it up is in the second half, I saw a point where Godoy passed it forward to Hani, and Hani tried, of course, got collapsed on by two defenders. Smart thing. That's what you do to Hani. And he tried to get through them. And I forget if he either misplayed the pass or got dispossessed. And Godoy just went, and threw his hands up and his head up. Now, I've seen Godoy react that way to a few people. Not really to Hani. You know what I mean? But, like, I felt like that summarized how that night went and honestly how our recent stretch of form has been, is not only frustrating, but the fact that you see them doing that on the field because the players are frustrated. So to me, that's some Godoy's frustration and throwing his hands up. To me, that was the summary of what that game was.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, summarize it in a GIF. If I could put that, cut that GIF, give
yeah,
it to
like
you.
A boomerang,
that's the summary of the game.
Boomerang over and over. Yeah. It was a terrible match to watch. I was a little under the weather Wednesday, so I did not go and end up going to the match. I also had this gut feeling for some reason that it was going to be our typical midweek match form. The stadium was mostly empty. The energy was low. They sang Vomitous Nashville back 50 million times off key. And it was a pretty poor night all around. We came out trying the whole 20 minutes of pressing soccer. And then if that doesn't work, go to plan B. But instead of 20 minutes of pressing soccer, we played 5, maybe 6 minutes. And then once we didn't score, we were like, then everyone just seemed to collectively throw up their hands. I don't know what to attribute that to, but it was hard to watch on television. And the announcers, I was able to listen thanks to Apple TV, our local broadcast. Jalil Anababa was on the broadcast with Wes Bowling. It was enjoyable listening to them. They were doing their very best to try to brighten up the spirit and the action. And even they, by the end of the match, were just kind of running out of things to talk about.
So you're saying they were doing the hard work and earned an MVP?
Jalil Anababa may actually have my MVP. I'm not going to say who my MVP vote is, but let's dive in.
All right.
Summing up, and again, we're just going to stick with the Orlando match. Who was your hardest working player?
I was going to give it to Godoy because I do feel like he was actually playing a decent game and commanding things in midfield. And again, the lineup, he was partnered with Anungu and Leal. Hani and kind of a diamond, I don't know. So I think he was, obviously he's tasked with the passing because we know Anungu is the, dispossess, press, and destroy. He's not really a creative passer. So I feel like Godoy was kind of tasked with that and did a pretty good job. And I feel like his frustration was kind of an expression of he played a decent game and was working hard and just nothing else around him was working. So I think he was doing a really good job of that. Other people were running and there was efforts. I mean, Wheel was running his tail off trying to be a Shaq replacement and
did okay
job.
Yeah.
I mean, he put in effort. It's just Godoy stood out as a little more productive and not just work. It was productive work.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Leal because I feel like he, in this game, and I'll talk a little bit about next, he seems to be coming a little bit more into his own. He seems to be actively trying to make the roster, and he's being rewarded with a roster spot, you know, with a starting match spot. He really good in dispossession. He has got that part of his game back where he's coming back to the ball midfield, getting possession back, being there. I thought there were some clever plays between he and Walker that were really bright, that seemed to be the highlight of a otherwise pretty rotten game. And so I'm going to give it to Leal. MVP for you?
This is a weird one, and it's a stretch. I'm going to give it to Sam, not necessarily on his performance, but on the fact that he performed what he was asked to do. In other words, I saw Sam in the midfield a lot, and I'm going to guess that's by Gary's design. I don't think that's his natural position. I don't think that's his desire. And I know I saw a highlight where someone said he somehow appeared at left back position for a while and stayed there to help hold things down. Mm-hmm. It's more of he was the MVP because he was doing a lot of things that you don't ask from a striker, and he played a lot of positions. He tried to create. He had a couple really crafty passes from the midfield to create kind of. They reminded me a little bit of what we like Hani to do sometimes, where he gets the ball and he sees the guy and he triggers the break. He isn't necessarily the guy on the break. And Sam did that a couple times. There was one that was beautiful that I think Fafa just couldn't get on the end of or was defended well. I saw him doing some creative things, again, showing the raw talent that Sam has. This isn't like Lobo, where I just felt like I never saw a product on the field that I was like, that's what we paid money for. I'm like, there is talent in Sam. I just feel like for some reason in this game, Geary decided not to have him or didn't want him or told him to not necessarily be that primary striker and do those things and to move all over. And so he was asked to do a lot of things and he performed them really well. I just don't think it contributed to a goal and wasn't traditionally what you would expect. So it's kind of a not that he was the most valuable in that he was doing a lot of things that he shouldn't necessarily have to do, but he did them pretty well, actually. And he helped break up a couple passes. Like, I was impressed for our striker doing non-strikery things, with the asterisk of, please God, let's not let him do non-strikery things anymore and make him score.
I think that Walker was my MVP just because he stayed so tight in the game and was still, he's still trying that going forward. You know, he's still trying to go forward, trying to be more of an offensive presence, maybe somewhat more like you were talking about with Sam, just trying to do something to get some goals on the board. He's sort of trying to lead the team by example, by getting out there and getting out of. And there was a couple of times towards the end of the match where that must be the playbook where they pull him up. If they're playing a high line and they pull him up the midfield, I thought that was pretty effective. And if that continues, we might actually see some that they also try that in the next game. So let's go ahead and put this one to bed. We lost the match. Let's talk about the what about the goal that they scored? Do you think that was onside or offside?
Man, it looked offside to me.
It did.
I mean, I don't
pretty clearly offside.
I don't get it. Yeah.
There wasn't even a VAR on it. Everyone, that's kind of when I was like, you know what? There's nothing here for me anymore.
Yeah, it's like the first Philly game where things started going wrong the first half, and then we got the first red card, and you're kind of like, all right, I'm washing my hands of this and going home early. Like, it did feel like that. It was just like, oh, so this is how it's going to be. And that's the problem, is I feel like, well, we'll get into this more. I feel like sometimes the team feels like it gives up.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia match, Saturday away match at Philadelphia. Gut check on the match. What did you think?
If it didn't come in the string of all this, a tie in Philly is a really good result.
Yeah,
I mean, they are a very well-organized team. They're stingy at home. They have a decent record at home. Like, honestly, I expected a loss. I was a little pessimistic, but so I was pleased with the tie, and you're really not going to win in Philly. You got to get kind of lucky, is my opinion, just because they're so good. So I think that was a good result. We played a decent game. We limited them on shots. We had a couple creative opportunities. It just felt like, you know, things fell apart a little bit, you know, in the last third. We weren't lucky, but I felt like it was overall, we played a good road game to go try and get a point, which again, in Philly is probably the best outcome you're going to get, is to go in and do that, unless, you know, again, pull a rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah, the match was difficult to watch because it was so chippy, and there was a lot of flopping, and there was a lot on both sides. On both sides. There was no flow. It wasn't, as we have commented before, it was not the beautiful game. It was a boring MLS game where both teams seemed to be playing for a stingy defensive, you know, two thirds of the match, right? And trying to break out on the counter. And it's kind of showcases the worst parts of MLS. Maybe that's a harsh take, but it really does.
My favorite comment is in the first half, the announcer said, it looks like Philly has decided not to go use an aerial attack against Nashville, not to go in the box because of their height. So they're passing around. And it's actually made the game more aesthetically pleasing. They said that on the announcement of like, oh, look, Nashville's forced them to look like a better team and play nicer ball.
Yeah.
And I about died. And I was like, yeah, but even then, it's still not great.
No. Yeah. And I was going to say on your Surge comment from the previous segment with Orlando, Sam is more of that continental style where he passes. It's a low pass. It's an on the ground passing game. If you watch an EPL game or watch a Bundesliga game, you know, it's not a bunch of long, typically not a bunch of long crosses, not long switches. There's a lot of, you know, very crisp, very precise passing. And that's the sort of creativity that he brings to the team. We'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment. Hardest working for you?
I'm going to give it to Taylor because this is a man who has mostly made substitution appearances and has racked up an incredible yellow card rate this year. I mean, like, look, we can't beat around the bush. He's gotten a lot of cards in very short stints. He played a full 90. He did not get carded. He played a good game filling in for Dan when we needed a sub. So this is just a recognition of a great job by Taylor going out there when we needed someone to fill in at that back spot because he is the backup. And he went out, he played a good game. He was pretty solid defensively. You know, we weren't necessarily weaker on that side or anything because of it. So it's obviously not MVP level, but it was just Taylor went out there. He did what we needed and what we asked from him. And so it was just perfect, hardworking Taylor Washington. Attaboy.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Leal again. I'm trying to manifest his sort of comeback. We need him at the top of his game. If we have any hope to make any noise in the playoffs, we need Leal to be a creative spark in the midfield, front and mid and front. You know, we got to have his sort of speed, his cleverness in possession, his dispossession power. We need him clicking. We need that. That part of the lineup needs to be there. I'm trying to make Leal's, you know, comeback reality just by sort of manifesting it. MVP for you.
So I'm going to honorable mention to Shaq. Shaq had a couple of great offensive opportunities that he pushed forward, and he looked great for coming off a supposed sub for hamstring snag or whatever. You know, I don't know. Shaq looked great.
I think he just needs some rest.
I think so. I don't think there's anything to it. But Shaq looked bright and brilliant, and I was very pleased with our effort down the right. However, I got to give it to Joe because, I mean, the man had some – that first header save that was just a flick and just he just threw his hands up right in front of his face was – it was an instinct save. There was no thinking. Joe was on point this game, and I will tell you this. This is a little stat spoiler. Joe was, according to FootMob, the highest rated player for the game with an 8.0. Everyone, both teams, Joe was the highest rated player out there. So the man put in some effort and carried us when we needed to in a game where, again, they didn't generate a ton of shots. I mean, they only had, 14 shots, only 5 on goal. So it wasn't the biggest offensive barrage, but it was still, he was asked to jump in and make a couple key saves and he delivered. So Shaq's close second, but Joe is the clear winner to me.
Oh, clear winner for me is Joe. Without him, it would have been a 3-0 Philadelphia win.
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily like a bad case. No, it was an outstanding performance by Joe.
I think that it makes the conversation we had last week a lot more interesting about our goaltender situation. So anyway, we may talk about that a little bit later, but let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some uncomfortable questions. John's going to share some stats, and we'll tell you who or what to get off our pitch, so stay with us. We are back. You know what we need most in the playoffs coming up, John? Is a strong is a strong pregame meal to get us through those tough opponents. And the meal I would want if I were playing is the Tempo Tex-Mex Taco and Premium Coffee meal. You can get a Section 118 at Geodis Park. Check them out every home match. Javier and his family will take good care of you. They are not a sponsor of this pod, but I wish they were. All right, John, uncomfortable question time. Please proceed, sir.
Do you care about the next few matches at all, Eric?
I don't.
This is my question. Do you care?
I don't. I really don't. I've already sold my tickets. I don't care.
I mean, as a fan, now, I know we usually talk about the playoff stuff at the end, but for context, we are almost locked into the seventh position. Actually, no, I take that back. We are, because Montreal can't pass us. Yep. They only have one game left, so no one can pass us. In theory, we could possibly pass Atlanta and jump up to sixth, but we can't go lower than seventh. So we're not going to do the playing game. We know that. Essentially, there's not much to play for the next two games. So part of it is, I know there's not much to play for. In the New England game, we could kind of hurt them and maybe they don't get a home game because they lose. Okay, whatever. The Red Bulls game doesn't matter to us. To them, it might, because it could qualify for them for the playoffs. But yeah, as a fan with just this lack of form and, again, kind of knowing we're basically locked into seventh, I'm just kind of like, all right, let's just bring on the playoffs. Like you said, wake me up when they start. And I feel like that's a bad place to be in kind of a statement of our general form. But I just wanted to come out and ask you it without any context of what do you think, you know?
Yeah, I think I've already answered your question. I've already sold my tickets for each match. Yeah. And I've posted them. They haven't sold yet. So not only this has never happened before. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm going to sell my Red Bulls one because I'm going to be out of town. Actually, I had something come up. But I'm going to try to go to the New England one to cap off my year because this is the last game. So I will attend that this weekend. But yeah, I'm going to sell the Red Bulls because I just won't be able to attend.
Yeah, I don't know. There just seems to be a high probability. Let's not talk absolutes. Let's talk probability. I think there is a high probability that the team's mentality for the next two matches will be more, let's just get to the playoff. I think that we may be seeing some players rested, I don't know. I feel like we're going to see a lot of Luke Hawkinson. I think we might even see, there might be a Ethan Zubek sighting or one or two maybe.
I would say especially in the last match, if we are locked into that position, I wouldn't be surprised. But So knowing that we both agree that we don't really care as much about the next game, how does that make you feel? Like, to me, I would love to go watch soccer. I get that sometimes statistically you're locked into a position, but to me, it's more about the feeling of the games haven't been fun. We haven't been winning. We haven't been scoring. And like, to me, that's the reason. Like, even if we were locked into seventh, I'm like, I'm going to go see a great game between us and the Red Bulls on decision day and be a part of it. Like, that would be fun.
No.
I feel like that's the part that's missing. And how does that make you feel about all this, you know?
It makes me very cynical. It makes me feel bad that I'm cynical. And it makes me feel cynical. All right, John, I'm hitting you with a tough one for me to think about. Is Sam Surge a bust?
If it's a hard question because he earned so much goodwill with his League's Cup play.
Yeah.
Obviously
he did amazing in the League's Cup.
He did amazing. And that first gold, the header to seal the thing, I mean, like, chef's kiss, like you couldn't script a better thing. I know he hasn't been 100% for some of the games. The answer is, realistically, we don't have enough data to tell. Realistically, if you spread it across the games, I would have to pull it up and tell you how many games he's played, because again, the Nashville sites and stuff don't track the League's Cup stats. It was like a magic in a bottle anomaly, so I don't know what his, you know, goal average per minutes played and all that is. We could look it up. It's not amazing. It's not as good as some of the other signings. I mean, we've seen, what's his name, Billy Sharp out in LA try to save their season and have hat tricks and stuff. Okay, sure. But then again, none of the rest of the team is scoring and we haven't been playing well. So, I mean, I guess let's put it this way. There's two factors. One, the rest of the team has not been playing well. We haven't been scoring outside of Sam. So it's not like he's the only one. Hani has been silent since League's Cup. So hard to just go out and say, oh, that's Sam's fault for not scoring. He's the bust.
Been silent since before League's Cup.
Well, yeah, a game or two before. So I don't think it's fair to say that. The other thing is, again, it's just a small sample size when it comes down to it, and players take time to adjust. We saw with Cadiz, he took time. He was not as good as we hoped, but he's integrated the team. He had some key players. He filled a role and a need and became that player. I feel like Gary's still trying to figure out, like, does Sam and Schaff play better together? We had a little while in the – was it the Orlando game where he had a Teal and Surridge up front double situation? Like, so I feel like there's also some of – I don't know that we know exactly how to line up to get the best out of him. So, I don't think we can call him a bust realistically. Am I disappointed? Yes. I would love some goals for him, especially because, again, if you look back on our history – we have, you know, if he scores a goal in one of the last couple games, that could have been a win in two of them. It could have been a tie, you know, changed another loss into a tie, and we'd be, you know, having a better feeling about the club and a different story. So obviously those goals will be useful, but no, he's far from a bust. And I think he will pan out in the end. It's just, you know, it's just a little frustrating. I get it.
Yep. My frustration is boiling over a bit. And I just want to, I don't want to let myself off the hook just because of my, you know, how much I love Sam and the team he came from. So I don't want to let that cloud my vision. So I need a little bit of reality check. All right, John, hit us with some stats.
A couple of stats. So like some good and bad. The expected goals of just under 0.4 for Orlando was bad. We didn't do well. And in Philly, guess what? We topped that with a whopping just under 0.4 again. But here's the worst part. We had one shot on goal between both games.
Yeah.
We went the entire Orlando game without a shot on goal. And then it wasn't until the 50th minute. So in the second half of the Philly game, nothing on target. It's bad. We got to generate some offense. That to me, that's the story of the last couple of games, is whatever it is, it's not clicking. Honey's overthinking, trying too hard. He's not connecting with Sam. Fafa's not working with it. Whatever it is, it's bad. Our offense is on life support, to put it mildly, and has to be corrected if we're going to have any hope in the playoff. So that's one thing. The other important stat, right now, we have two games left. Again, one of them is against New England, so it could affect their position, but we do have the ability. We could go up into sixth. If we could do well and Atlanta does not win, if they tie their last game, we win out, we could possibly jump. So not decided. Another fun fact for you, though, just because we talked about earlier, 77. That's the average time it takes Taylor to get a yellow card now, because he added a clean 90 minutes. So we bumped it up a lot this week. So now he's averaging a yellow card every 77 minutes. And he's not the highest on the team. He has 6. Our good friend Teal, who has already been suspended for yellow card accumulation and for a red card, has 7. So Taylor is not the highest on the team anymore, thanks to some of Teal's temper has earned him at least 2, maybe 3 of those cards. So he's not the most egregious person. It just happens to be in a lot smaller time frame of minutes, so it stands out.
All right, John, I want to tell you, this is a perfect segue to my get off my pitch. I'm going to kick us off tonight. And it is my red card. It's a straight red, goes to number 8 Martinez for bumping the ref and jawing at him after getting a yellow card in Philly. Like, if that had been Godoy, right? If that had been, it would have been a straight red. It would have been a double yellow. You know what I mean? It would have been a double yellow and effectively a red. And he kept doing it. He kept, like, people had to pull him. And I saw him.
Yeah, Bedoya was holding him back. I remember
seeing
that.
And I saw him bump the ref. I saw him. I'm like, I'm sorry. There needs to be clear. I'm going to talk with Gary. There needs to be clear rules here. If a player touches a ref, arguing a card, that's it. That's odd, like, just throw the second yellow. I'm sorry, I'm sick of this. These players are going to keep doing it if they know they can get away with it. And if the fact that it's inconsistent is even more upsetting. So my straight red goes to Martinez. I should probably also give it to the MLS for being inconsistent in the rules, but I'm going to give it to Martinez. I don't like him. I don't like him as a player. I think he's all mouth. I mean,
he fell multiple times in the first half.
Yeah, he goes down pretty easy. He's like light beer. I don't like Martinez, so that's my red card. John, take it away.
You hurt my brain with the light beer joke. Okay. Also, that reminded me of the case earlier this year where Sergio Busquets, who of course has a reputation, grabbed him by the shoulders and was like, wait, and tried to talk to him. And of course, got no discipline for grabbing the ref to hold him and engage
John,
with him.
John, there just needs to be clear that, like, you put hands on the ref, that's it. You're out. You're out of a game. I don't care if it's accidental. Yeah, I mean, Honey got one
for entering the VAR area the other day, didn't he? Like,
yeah.
Was that in the...
Yeah, you know what I mean? There needs to be a crackdown on this. That just players, just you're off. You're gone. All right, please.
I feel that. So my card is a little bit more personal. As mentioned, last week we were on vacation in Yellowstone, so we did a bunch of hiking. And then my sister and her family came this week, and so we went up and we did some Mammoth Caves this week, and we hiked some stuff. We toured Nashville. We took them the Broadway early on a Saturday, so they got to see some of the interesting stuff. It was fun. We did some of the not, you know, we did the Wild Horse, some of the, anyway, we had fun. We did some things. They got to see some of the Broadway because they wanted to, you know, observe the ridiculous that is tourism downtown. But we did a lot of walking. I'm going to tell you this, Eric. This card goes to old age.
Ah, okay.
This goes to old age. I am so sore and tired after like 7 continuous days of walking. I'm so mad with it and being old. I had to carry my daughter up a half a mile hill on a hike because she was tired. Eric, I'm so tired. I can't do this, dude. Being old sucks. Being old needs to get off my pitch. Science, where are you with age form? How do we – have we not fixed – look, someone needs to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. We need more medical advances.
Right.
We didn't have hoverboards. We're past the, you know, Back to the Future – flash forward, and we don't have hoverboards. We don't have guys. Where is science? What are they doing? What are these scientists being paid to do? I need medical advancements. I don't want to feel like I want to feel young and in my 20s again. Look, do something about it. So old age can get off my pitch.
Yep. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Where you at?
Honestly, that's kind of a good follow up to yours last week with the whole alcohol and old age. So we're kind of, mine was more of too much physical exertion to pushing my limits. Yours was alcohol. You know, it's a theme. It's reality, Eric. It sucks.
All right, let's take a break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the next match against New England coming up. We will also give you our score prediction, tell you what we got wrong. So stay with us. Let's just say for theoretical sake that someone who's also of a certain age in our Twitter audience wanted to give us feedback on how they hate being old. How would they do that?
You could find us on Twitter at @GOMP_pod, and you could tweet at us. You don't have to disclose your age. You can just, you know, use generic ranges or some general terms to let us know. Maybe even a cultural touchstone reference of a movie you grew up with or something to let your approximate age and how much you are frustrated with the problems of it.
Yep. Bonus points if you can quote any Pierce Hawthorne lines from Community. You can also check us out typically at 8 o'clock on Sunday. Tonight it's Monday on the YouTube. We also broadcast on Twitter. I always forget that. Check it out at Get Off My Pitch on YouTube. Same address on Twitter or X or whatever. All right, John, who are we playing and when are we playing them?
We're playing New England next Saturday. And since it's local, it'll be the 6:30 thing. So it is nice. We get to end with 2 home games. Fans can round that out. Honestly, when it comes to prediction, I don't know what to do anymore with New England. Ever since, you know, the Bruce Arena scandal that has, by the way, stayed under wraps pretty well. Like there were hints of it was something it was related to, but I don't know. It's kind of disappeared. So it will be interesting to see. But I don't know what to predict. They've been up and down. They lost to Orlando and Columbus. They beat Charlotte. They tied Chicago, lost to Colorado. Like, I don't know. They're kind of all over the place. And again, all they're playing for is the possibility to jump Columbus going into the last day. But even then, that might not pan out. So we're in this weird quasi, like, it's the end of the year. Who knows what you're playing for? Who knows what they're going to do? Oh, by the way, and they're also without a couple players due to international duty as well. Buck is with the England U19s, and they have a couple others. So I don't know, man. I'm just going to go with let's hope we bring back some good vibes and we win, but it's going to be 1-0 because our offense is still anemic as all heck.
Yeah, just going to drop in, check in on our Lady Vanderbilt ladies soccer team. They are really struggling in the SEC. This year is just not the year, I don't think, that the offense has not really clicked. They did drop a heartbreaker to Kentucky. They have dropped out of the top 25. So unfortunately, women's soccer not doing as good as last year where they were just dominating. But on the good news, Lipscomb men's team is just rolling. They beat Bellamy 6-3, and they also rolled up on North Alabama 3-1. They are really rolling. Again, I tell you, they've got two All-Americans that look really, really good. Look for those players coming up in the draft. They're both seniors, so we'll talk a little bit more of them after the season ends. But all right, John, score prediction. What do you think this score will be?
Sorry, like I said, 1-0. I kind of leaked it early, but okay. That's my thought. And I was wrong. It's 7:30 local time.
Yeah. I just don't think this is going to be a beautiful game. I'm thinking 1-1. It's going to be a snooze fest. I just don't see this being very exciting because I think we've already talked about it. I think we're stuck in seventh. I think New England is a weird team. They're in a weird position. I don't see them coming in with a lot of attacking form. Just from what I've seen recently, but you never know. But here's the problem. You never know. Like, you just don't know what team you're going to get. So, all right, John, what did we get wrong from last week?
I believe I had one thing. So I did say that we scored off the first Kansas City corner kick, in the Kansas City game. I don't actually know if it was the first corner kick, and I am far too lazy to go back and rewatch the game, and stats don't necessarily tell you about that. So anyway, another VAR. I had actually wrote down, and this is mocking me, I wrote down in our VAR list, Eric, you just have poor moderation skills. You're not that old. You're fine. And then I come on with my red card. So, yeah, I'm going to eat my words and that. Nope. Old age just sucks. It's not your fault, Eric. Okay. I absolve you of the responsibility for that.
I'm just in. Well, I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that. How about this? If I don't sell my tickets, I will see you Saturday. Until then, thank you for joining us at home. Thank you for joining us overseas. Have a great night, and we will catch you next time.
See you then.